So today I will discuss how to solve the firewall problem or AMPS puzzle. So I will begin with a review of basic concepts like firewall argument and also the Hayden Presque recovery protocol. Then I will discuss how to construct black hole interior operator by using the Hayden Presque recoveries. Then I will discuss the effect of including the infolding observer into the problem, and I will propose the resolution of the problem and conclude with discussions. So let me just tell you about my proposal, and things will become more precise later. So what I will do is I will construct interior operator in a state-independent manner without ever involving distant array radiation. So this construction avoids no-go results, previous no-go arguments. And then I will show that the infolding observer actually leaves a non-trivial back reaction. And then this has an effect of disentangling the outgoing mode from the array radiation, no matter how she falls into the black hole. And then I will argue that the infolding observer will see a smooth horizon. And so her experience will not be influenced by any quantum operation outside the black hole. Now, let me begin with a review of the firewall argument. Now, I want to keep this part very brief because otherwise this part can easily take more than like 2 hours, which is not beneficial for all of us. So my purpose here is to just remind you of the flavor of the original arguments without going into details. And then here in this part, I even don't make any effort to be precise yet, but things will become more precise later. So firewall puzzle concerns certain inconsistency between two observers, outside observer and the inside infolding observer. So actually throughout my talk, I will use Bob as an outside observer and Alice as an infolding observer. Now from the perspective of the outside observer Bob, he will see three Hilbert spaces, remaining black hole, outgoing mode, and array radiation. And precise distinction among these three Hilbert spaces are not that important. What is important for us is that we are thinking about the old black hole, which has already emitted more than half of its content. As a result, outgoing mode D will be maximally entangled with array radiation. And it is not entangled with C, the remaining black hole. But Alice will say something different, so because she will see the interior D bar. Now, in the interior, you can find the partner mode D bar that is entangled with D, the outgoing mode. But these two statements are not that, consistent with each other. Now, for now, let's believe what Bob said. Then, since outgoing mode is entangled with array radiation, so it cannot be entangled with anything else. So, well, mutual information between D and D bar will be close to zero. But vacuum should contain some amount of entanglement. So this implies that there is a high energy density near the horizon and so, suggesting the existence of the firewall. But in my talk, by firewall, I mean that it's a firewall that may result from the loss of quantum entanglement. In other words, I will focus on monogamy relations and its possible violation and it's how to restore it, okay? And the reason is because there may be other physical mechanisms to create some high energy density, but these are beyond the scope of this talk. Okay, now this firewall problem becomes most precise in the language of the outside observer. So here is the question. Alice jump into the black hole and then she will probably see a smooth horizon and then see the interior. Then, in principle, we should be able to embed this physics into the language of the outside observer, or outside Hilbert space. So how do we do that? So the central question here is, of course, how to write down the interior operator in the outside Hilbert space. Since we are thinking about old black hole, we cannot write down the entangled degree of freedom in C degree of freedom, because we have just looked at that like D is not entangled with C. So all we can do is to include degree of freedom from the array radiations, array radiation R. But this is pretty problematic because this leads to the so-called non-locality problem. So just imagine that you place this array radiation to some far distant universe, and then Alice jump into the black hole and then see some smooth horizon. But in order to describe this physics, why do we need to use degree of freedom from far distant universe? This point becomes sharper if you think about AdS black hole. And in AdS black hole, two-sided black hole, Alice jumped into the black hole from left, and then her infilling experience somehow requires description from the right-hand side. But I mean, two-sided black hole, we don't assume any coupling between them. So this is very weird. I'm very worried about this non-locality problem, but some of the previous approaches, namely A equals to RB approach or ER-EPR approaches, try to solve the problem by saying like, well, essentially this is how quantum gravity should work and we should live with that. Unfortunately, I do not think these previous approaches are correct, and vigorously deny these proposals by using a phenomenon of quantum information scrambling. But another important problem is, of course, this state-dependent problem. Maybe some of you may have heard. So the point is that I have used R degree of freedom in order to write down interior operator. This means that your construction of interior operator depends on the global state of the black hole, like how this is entangled with R and so on. But again, state-dependent quantum mechanics is not well-defined, and it comes with lots of problems. But again, many people have said that this is how quantum gravity should work and so on. But in this talk, I will try to construct a state-independent interior operator. Okay, so now let me shift the gear and then talk about the Hayden-Bresky recovery. So I will consider an old black hole, which has emitted half of its content. This black dot is the black hole, and then red dot is the RV radiation. And then for now, I will assume that these guys are given by simple EPR pairs, which is 00 plus 11 plus 22 plus 33 and so on. So in other words, just to expert, I'm not looking at the state dependence problem yet. I will later generalize the argument. But for now, I will assume that this is just an EPR pair. Now, Alice throws an unknown quantum state into an old black hole. And then Bob later tries to reconstruct this original quantum state by collecting the Hawking radiation. The question is, by having access to this early part of the radiation, can Bob do this job easily or not? And then it turns out it's sort of yes, but surprisingly, Bob just needs to collect just a qubit, just a few qubits from the like late radiation. Namely, if A is a x qubit state, then you only need to collect x plus epsilon qubits to do this. Now, by reconstructing a quantum state, I mean that there exists a recovery unitary operator which outputs the same quantum state as the original state. Now, this beautiful paper by Hayden and Preskill unfortunately had two drawbacks. First of all, they assume that the black hole evolves under the Hall random unitary operator. But we normally don't think that the black hole is evolving under Hall random unitary. And also, they sort of didn't tell us how to construct this recovery unitary operator, which I call decoder. And so in a sense that their argument was almost like an existence proof. And this first problem was resolved by myself and my colleagues. We proved that the decay of actually out of time ordered correlation function implies the existence of the recovery unitary operator V. And so OTOC, you compute it, so it's 0t, 0t, it's a weird correlation function. So OI acts on the input degree of freedom, so it's like a mode that is jumping into the black hole. Then D is the outgoing mode, then you compute this quantity. And what we proved is that if this guy becomes small, then we can reconstruct the quantum state. And as you know, black hole exhibit this phenomena, the scrambling phenomena, in the most dramatic manner. Now, the reason why this thing is related to recoverability can be proven sort of rigorously from this formula. Let me just briefly explain you what this formula is. And yeah, this might be a bit technical, but the point is that the outside observer Bob has an access to the early radiation R, and also he catches some part of the late radiation. So he has access to D and R. Now, what Bob wants to do is to, of course, guess what was the initial quantum state A. Yeah, I'm just preparing some reference qubits here, which is entangled with A. So Bob's task is, of course, he wants to guess what was A, which is actually essentially equivalent to saying, like, is there any correlation between A prime and DR? Now, it turns out that the Rennie 2 version of the mutual information here can be written in terms of the out of time ordered correlation function. This means that if this right-hand side, this quantity is small, scrambling is happening, then mutual information will be very big. So there is a strategy for Bob to guess what was A prime by having access to D and R. And this formula works for any unitary operator, okay? So it's a pretty generic statement. And kind of surprising thing is that here in OTOC, we only touch A and D, but we somehow know what's going on R. This is something very surprising about this, I think, out of time ordered correlation function. Anyhow, this is how the reconstruction can be proven. But by the way, I have been talking about, yes?
So to get V, do you have to know U?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Then, like, how can we know?
Yeah. So this is actually a kind of question. So so this is not a problem. So many people ask me, like, okay, we are studying quantum gravity and we don't understand quantum gravity well, and what does it mean by knowing the dynamics of U? But this is not a problem, quantum gravity, because similar problem exists in the classical world. Let's say I prepare a spin up or spin down state, and your job is to guess what is my original spin. If I just hand you the spin, then you will know it was up or down. But if I secretly apply some classical dynamics which flips the spin, then you have no way of guessing what was my initial state. So knowing the dynamics is actually prerequisite to talk about this kind of information problem. So this is such a problem exists in the classical world too. Anyway, so we need to know what is U. Now, here I have been talking about reconstruction of a state, but we can actually interpret it as a reconstruction of operator. That is, if you have some unitary operator here, you can find a partner operator here. By partner, I mean that it essentially acts like this OA operator, like does the same thing as this. Okay. Now, the second problem was sort of resolved by myself and Kitaev. So we proved that the decay of OTOC is sufficient to show that the existence of quote-unquote simple recovery protocols. So I say it's simple, but of course it requires finite minutes to talk about. So let me give you a very brief version. The idea is, of course, we catch the early radiation. Here in this notation, I'm using B bar. But the point is, we apply the complex conjugate U star of the original operator, and then time envelope, and then later we catch D and D bar, and then collapse them into EPR pair. So in order for this to work, you need to observe EPR pair. So this protocol works only probabilistically. Now, if you can project these guys into EPR pair, then this guy gets teleported to this guy. This is how this reconstruction works. So for the purpose of actually reconstructing operators, probabilistic protocol is fine because you can just later renormalize the norm of the operator. But it's actually there is a kind of beautiful generalization of this protocol which incorporates the global quantum search algorithm. And then the idea is actually you unitarily restore D and D bar into EPR pair. So you can use this version to reconstruct this.
Yeah. Do you need to implement U star exactly?
Yeah. I mean, it's very important because it's chaos. So if you miss it, then you mess up. Yeah, so then many people ask me about geometric interpretation. Then I don't have any good answer. But it's probably one form of a traversable wormhole because the signal from left goes to right. But I cannot say anything other than this. This is how it works. And now I want to use this Hayden-Preskill phenomena to construct interior operator. So first, I will discuss how to do it. But first method, this construction, unfortunately, it is state dependent. But in a more recent paper, I promoted it to a state independent one. So first, I will explain state dependent one. So here's how Hayden Prest recovery works. A was reconstructed on D and R. Okay. Now, here's AMP's problem. The goal was you have outgoing mode here. And then you want to write down some operator which is a partner of this OD. Then, if possible, we wanted to find a partner only on C degree of freedom. But unfortunately for old black hole, C and D are not entangled, so this is not possible. And one possibility is, of course, you just push this OD operator through this unitary operator and then find a partner on R. That is, of course, possible. But this has a non-locality problem. So now I would like to look for a construction which uses C degree of freedom as much as possible and R degree of freedom as little as possible. For this, what I'm going to do is I will split the R irradiation degree of freedom R into two parts, A and B. And this bipartition can be arbitrary, but I want to take A to be very small region. It's actually as small as D itself. So if D is 1 qubit, A can be just 1 qubit or 2 qubits. Now, after rotating this diagram and bending the arrows and so on, what you get is the following. You have all the operator here, and then you can find the partner operator on A and C. Now, sorry for introducing many notations, but just to remind you, C is the remaining degree of freedom, like black hole degree of freedom. And then A is some small subsystem of the R irradiation. And then now you can see that this is exactly the Hayden-Preskill problem, kind of running backward in time. So just to remind you that the Hayden-Preskill, we wanted to reconstruct A by having access to B and D. But here we are reconstructing D by having access to C and A. Now, this observation is nice because essentially I can use the Hayden-Preskill recovery to write down the partner operator. So if we do that, then we will get some expression of interior operators. Now, the good thing about this interior operator are the following. As I mentioned, you can basically choose any subsystem A from the R irradiation R in order to write down the DBA operator. This is very good because in some sense, construction of this interior operator is naturally fault-tolerant or robust against perturbations on the R irradiation. So it's actually like you can damage almost all the qubits on the R irradiation. It's like all the qubits on B. But still, if a few qubits on A is safe, then you can find the partner operator there. So in this sense, I would say that the interior operator we constructed is almost inside the remaining black hole. In a sense that, okay, I used a few extra qubits from the R irradiations, but it's almost inside. So we are almost achieving the goal. But unfortunately, of course, this construction suffers from two serious problems still, because the construction is state dependent. So far, I have been assuming that the initial state of the black hole was this EPR pair. But now, generic maximally entangled state should be written in this way. So it depends on the initial state of the black hole. Now, also, I use the R irradiation degree of freedom, so it has non-locality problem. Now, I want to debug these two problems. But anyhow, we have actually already learned some important lesson about the AMPS puzzle. So let me tell you. So again, this is a reconstruction protocol. Just to remind you, D is the outgoing mode, C was the remaining black hole, and the A and B are radiations. Now let's somehow assume that for some reason Alice had access to A degree of freedom. Then Alice can distill EPR pair between D and CA, right? But if Alice didn't have access to any part of the R irradiation, then D is entangled with A and B. So that is entanglement Bob can see. So as you can see that this monogamy relation of the quantum entanglement stems from, like AMPS puzzle stems from this very subtle difference of like whether Alice had access to the R irradiation or not. And from perspective of Alice, actually it's pretty easy to disturb Bob's quantum entanglement between D and AB and steal it. The reason is because, well, as I discussed, A can be any subset of small number of qubits as big as D, and then still Alice can distill the DPR pair. Okay, so this is a kind of the interpretation. Now let me promote my construction to state-independent operators. So for now, I will solve this question as a purely quantum information theoretic question. Later, I will discuss corresponding physical situations. Actually, the corresponding situation is just inclusion of the infolding observer. Anyway, now I will think about quote-unquote long throat, quote-unquote ADS black hole. By long throat, I simply mean that this K unitary is something very complicated. And by ADS, I simply mean that it is a this black hole is not evaporating, so the Hilbert space size does not change. Here is U is a big unitary operator explaining the time evolution of this black hole. I will discretize this time evolution into small steps, and I will label intermediate Hilbert space by AT and BT. AT, roughly speaking, is these are modes that is hitting at the boundary at that specific time. BT are all the other degrees of freedom. Now, what I'm going to do is to prepare an Ancilla EPR pair here. And this EPR pair, by the way, is something I prepare, which is like I prepare out of nowhere. Later, I will explain the meaning and so on. But you can for now think about this as like infolding observer or measurement apparatus or something. Now, given this additional EPR pair, what I'm going to do is to apply swap operator. Well, swap is just you exchange qubits. Then what's the outcome? And then here's the outcome. Now this part looks pretty familiar. So we can use the Hayden-Priestke recovery to construct a partner operator D bar by using degree of freedom on C and E bar, or operators on C and A. The point is I can do construction D bar operator without ever accessing the R, the right hand side of the black hole. Okay. Now, moreover, because D is entangled with C and E bar degree of freedom, the entanglement between outgoing mode D and the RE radiation R, or the, what is it called? The right-hand side of the black hole is now gone. It is disentangled. Now, of course, some of you would think that this protocol is super gadgety and artificial, but later I will argue that similar effect happens. Essentially, it's a very universal effect in the gravitational systems. Now, let me argue why this is state independent. Well, simply because my construction depends only on this part and also this tiny part, which explains this measurement apparatus or whatever. Now, since my construction didn't involve this part, so you can, for example, collapse R into pure state, then you can explain the one-sided black hole situations. So this construction, anyway, works for one-sided or two-sided black hole, as long as black hole is in a thermal equilibrium. So for this reason, I claim that this is a state-independent problem, independent construction. And you can do a similar thing for the evaporating black hole. Well, the trick is the same. You just use this part and then do that. It works. Anyway, so now, I would like to discuss the effect of including the infolding observer. That is actually that corresponds to the basically these protocols. Now, for simplicity of discussion, I want to begin with the eternal two-sided black hole. Now, in the absence of the infolding observer Alice, Bob can easily verify the quantum entanglement between the outgoing mode and the RE radiation or the other side of the black hole, because we just simply need to compute correlation between this guy and this guy on the boundary. You see it. Or you can use Ryota-Kaling formula or whatever to see the entanglement between D and D tilde. Now let us add infolding observer. To be specific, I will add some measurement apparatus, M, which fall into the black hole here. Now the point is that no matter how small this measurement apparatus is, well, let's say we can assume this measurement apparatus takes like smallest possible energy, like order of temperature. But no matter how small it is, because of the blue shift, it becomes a gravitational shock wave and it disturbs the Bose quantum entanglement between D and D tilde. And of course, this is precisely due to the decay of the out-of-time ordered correlator in the boundary language. Now, of course, this kind of a calculation is pretty easy, but this hints that D and the D tilde correlation or entanglement is now gone. So this hints that maybe outgoing mode D is disentangled completely from the early radiation or the right-hand side. But this argument still doesn't really deny the possibility that this D is entangled with something else on the right-hand side, like some other non-local degree of freedom or whatever. But I can rigorously prove that this D is disentangled from the right-hand side. And well, I say it's quote-unquote proof, but it's so because it's not super rigorous. But the point is that you only need to assume the smallness of the out-of-time ordered correlation function. And then here I have included the effect of measurement apparatus. So this is an additional Hilbert space. It starts from some pure state. And then lots of detail doesn't matter. As long as Otok decays, you can show that the C and D mutual information becomes nearly maximal. So you can always find the operator living on C that is entangled with the D. And moreover, since D is entangled with the C, so D cannot be entangled with R. So this disentangling phenomenon happens because of the Otok decay. Now, I want to emphasize that although I started discussion with the eternal ADS black hole, but it works for any black holes. So, I mean, all what I assumed so far is basically a quantum mechanical description of the black hole and the decay of out-of-time ordered correlation function. Now, the situation I just talked about, of course, it has an infolding observer, but it's not exactly the same as the reconstruction protocol I explained. So let me discuss a situation which exactly mimics the reconstruction protocol of the interior operator. This can be done in the following way. You catch the early radiation and then let's say let it pass through the boundary by some trick. And then instead, so by catching this qubit or mode, instead I will shoot some probe mode into the black hole. But when I shoot the probe mode, I want to keep the other half that is entangled with E in my pocket. So basically I'm trying to probe what's inside the black hole by having access to this E bar, and then I send E part into the black hole. Okay, anyway, in this situation actually is completely, like, exactly identical to the reconstruction protocol. But in any cases, decay of out-of-time ordered correlator implies that D is entangled with E bar and C. C is a remaining black hole, so D is no longer entangled with R, the right-hand side. So I have discussed two scenarios to include infolding observer or measurement apparatus. But what is important for us is that this outgoing mode will be always disentangled from the early radiation or the right-hand side, no matter how the infolding observer is introduced. I'm making this claim because decay of out-of-time ordered correlator is a very universal feature of gravitational systems. And I cannot think of many body systems where the out-of-time ordered correlator does not decay by hitting only on one side. And then the important point is that the interior operator we have constructed does not depend on what's going on the other side of the black hole. But it has small like reminiscent of state dependence because the construction depends on how the observer is introduced. So it is an observer dependent construction. But I want to mention two caveats of my proposal. All the argument I have been making so far requires scrambling time separation. So this is very important. And then if I have time later, I will mention why this is probably okay. And the second problem is that this probe mode A or E needs to be as big as the size of D. But I feel this is just a feature of the problem in a sense that in order to probe the interior or some probe the physics, record the physical experience, you yourself should carry some amount of entropy. So I don't see this as a big problem, but this is, I think, a feature of the protocol. Anyway, so far I made some arguments, but this argument has a very simple bulk interpretation. So in the absence of ALICE, infolding observer, outgoing mode is just entangled with the tilde, right? But if I encode Alice, its effect as a shock wave, then it shifts the horizon like this. So this is the back reactor geometry. The point is that you can find a new interior operator, D bar, right here. Then because of the back reaction, these guys are no longer entangled. They will be entangled with D bar. Now here, important point is that this construction D bar operator is completely outside the causal influence of the right-hand side. So this infolding experiments of Alice, you really cannot influence it by doing something on the right-hand side or the R irradiation. So this bulk interpretation, I guess, gives us a resolution of the non-locality problem, which is, I feel this non-locality problem is more important than firewall problem itself. So the problem was, of course, Alice jumped into the black hole from left-hand side, and somehow she sees interior mode. Now, if we assume that interior mode is written in terms of the other side of the black hole, as previous approaches did, then this is pretty weird, because in order to see the interior, you need to be coupled to the other side of the black hole. But how I'm trying to resolve this problem is because by Alice jumping into the black hole, she creates her own interior mode D bar, and then she is just seeing this D bar, which is different from D tilde. And the point is that D bar is constructed entirely from the left-hand side degree of freedom. Anyway, so now let me explicitly explain how to resolve the AMPS puzzle. Well, I guess it's already clear, but now the original AMPS argument was roughly speaking the following. So we have R irradiation entangled with outgoing mode. So since outgoing mode is entangled with R irradiation, so we should be able to distill a qubit, D tilde, which is entangled with D. Okay. Now let's keep this tilde somewhere in a secure place or whatever, and then ask Alice to jump into the black hole. Then Alice tried to see the interior mode that is entangled with outgoing mode, but this shouldn't be possible because this is already entangled with this guy. So there is no entanglement between these guys. Therefore, there should be a firewall. So that was the original argument. And then some of the previous arguments said that, well, instead, maybe D bar and the D tilde degree of freedom are the same. And somehow there is something non-local here. And then perhaps touching this D tilde operator, D tilde qubit, or like this distillation procedure has an effect of sending perturbation, and it becomes shockwave, and then it kills Alice or infolding observer. My proposal is different from these previous works. So my proposal is essentially the following. So here is the situation. So D and D tilde are initially entangled. But now, if Alice jumps into the black hole, no matter how, she will leave a non-trivial back reaction, which leads to decay of out-of-time order autocorrelator, which decouples D from D tilde, and it's actually D is decoupled from R irradiation. Now, Alice crosses the horizon smoothly, and she sees D bar operator. But D bar operator is constructed completely on this left-hand side degree of freedom, so there is no problem. And so she can peacefully fall into the black hole and see the interior. Well, so it's not peaceful, but actually, so there is another peaceful side of the story. So I have been discussing the scenario where Alice sees the EPR pair, quantum entanglement, and Bob doesn't see the EPR pair. But let's think about the opposite limit of the monogamy relation. Is there any physical situation where Bob can sort of see the EPR pair and Alice doesn't see the EPR pair? So it's in some sense, we want to mimic the firewall situation. And if we think about this problem, there is one nice approach, that is Bob should just save Alice from recklessly jumping into the black hole, right? And then if Alice doesn't jump into the black hole, she shouldn't be able to see the EPR pair. But if you think about this observation a little bit, then you can actually do this by performing the Hayden-Bresky recovery protocol. So Alice wants to jump into the black hole and see the interior, but Bob performs hidden rescue or traversal wormhole or whatever. Then the point is, because Alice couldn't cross the horizon, so she will not be able to see the EPL pair. Now, with this speculation in mind, it is actually pretty satisfying to recall how the recovery protocol by myself and Kitaev work. So it exactly proceeds by verifying the quantum entanglement, well, like protecting the quantum entanglement by Bob. So it's actually a bad notation. D must be D and D tilde, sort of. But anyway, so this protocol works by sort of a unitary or projecting back D and D tilde into EPRP. So this is essentially Bob's verification, Bob's protection of the quantum entanglement, and it actually performs the Hayden-Priest recovery protocol. So Bob can prevent Alice from seeing the EPR pair, not by killing Alice, but by saving Alice. So it's a very peaceful resolution, I think. Anyway, so this is the story. Now I would like to conclude with brief discussions. Now, so far, all my arguments assume that there is a scrambling time separation. So what if I don't have scrambling time separation? And unfortunately, I don't have concrete answer to this question, so I have prepared three possible explanations. I hope one of them should be correct, but anyway. Scenario one is that when this is smaller than the scrambling time, when Alice sees D-bar mode, by which I mean that when intersect with D-bar, it is very close to the singularity. And we don't really trust effective quantum field theory near the singularity, so maybe it's fine. Second scenario, maybe related to the first scenario, is that we can think about the quality of the EPR pair Alice is seeing. So you can think about the proper temperature, and then proper temperature becomes higher and higher as you go very close to the horizon. This means that the quantum correlation you are seeing becomes weaker and weaker as you go farther away and away. So maybe like violations or like a little bit of a quantum entanglement is fine. Yeah. In order to have a higher temperature, actually, you need this time scale should be as big as the scrambling time. So that might be another explanation. And then third explanation is, yeah, maybe these guys are not entangled when this is smaller than the scrambling time, but that's maybe fine. The point is that when two modes are not entangled near the horizon, or it's a shorter distance, it will lead to a high energy barrier. But if they are very separated from each other, then that will lead to only a low energy. So that's not really a firewall, you know? Anyway, these are the three possible explanations. Maybe all of them are related or not. I don't know, but this is the explanation. Finally, I think this protocol is, I think, interesting to use in order to address this question of the entanglement wedge reconstruction, because what I have done so far is write down the interior operator. And famously, that this operator sitting on this empty ADS, we should be able to write it down by having access to here and here. And there is an existence proof of such an operator and so on, but maybe we can try this Hayden-Pretzky-like argument to show that. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you very much.
In terms of the black hole, it seems like a key step is there's going to be a very strong back reaction. So is that supported by some actual black hole dynamics or?
All I need is decay of out of time order to correlate. So if you believe shockwave calculation, then.
So, I mean, it seems like everything is in shape, and why is this the final answer to the whole thing, and everyone accepts this, or is there still some
uncertainties
here?
I don't know, yeah. Maybe I need some time, I need to wait some time, but I still think like there is a problem if I think about Dojita horizon, and then because when I send a shock in the Dojita, then it's a shift in the opposite way, apparently. So for that, maybe I need some different resolution, like inferring observer or going observer cannot actually cross the horizon or whatever. But for flat space, like black hole horizon, I think this explains the physics. But I think it would be interesting to actually use this protocol to write down the interior operator by studying SYK model, for example.
There are no more questions. Let's thank Benny again and all the speakers.